We're here on Chav Beis Amud Aleph, five lines down from the top. The Mishnah on Chav Aleph Amud Beis tells us in the Sefer HaKelev Shenotal Charora V'Holach LeGodish Ocha Al HaCharora V'Hidlik HaGodish Al HaCharora Mishalim Nezek Sholem V'Al HaGodish Mishalim Chatzi Nezek. So the dog ate the Charora and has to pay the owner of the Charora Midin Shein, and that's Nezek Sholem. The dog also at the same time burnt up the Gadish, this haystack, and on the Gadish he pays Chatzi Nezek. Now, what we have to understand before we begin Itmar is one point, and that is that this charora, which is some sort of a very hot cookie that was grilled on an open fire, has gecholim attached to it. These are pieces of charcoal that are burning, and therefore the kelev, when it lifts up this charora, it takes with it the gecholim as well. And this is what the Rambam says in his Pirush HaMishnayis on the Mishnah on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, that pa'amim, it's quite common, nidbakim ba, attached to this charora, this cookie, is mina gecholim, is some of the gecholim. Itmar. Now we have a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Why is it that a person is chayev in general for nizkei esh? And then we'll come back in Mirtz Hashem to analyze our Mishnah in the light of this machlokes. Now keep in mind, of course, that the parasha of esh is explicit in the Torah, in Mishpatim. Nevertheless, the Torah doesn't specify exactly why you're chayev for Eish, and Eish is very unique because it only damages with the help of the ruach, of the wind, which carries the fire from place X where it's located to place Y where the nezek happened. And yet you're chayev for the maisa haruach, for the contribution of the wind as another force. That puts Eish in a separate category. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Isho Mishum Chitzav. A person who lights a fire, and this fire spreads into his neighbor's backyard and damages there and burns there, says Rabbi Yochanan, in such a case, Yechayev Midin Adam Hamazik. The force of the fire is considered an extension of the man himself, and that makes it into Adam Hamazik. Now again, it's hard to call it Adam Hamazik Mamish. It's not exactly Adam Hamazik, because again, the Koach Acher here of the Ruach is going to carry the fire from place to place. But nevertheless, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Chiddush of the Torah is this Av Hamazik of Eish, but it is defined by the regulations of Adam Hamazik. There's a famous kashya for the Muki Yosef, a world-class kashya with the Teretz of the Nodav Yehuda. How could you light Shabbos candles on Erev Shabbos if it continues lighting on Shabbos? According to Rabbi Yochanan, that's considered the action of a person. So when it burns on Shabbos, that should be a violation of Meleches Havara. And the Nebuki Yosef's answer is that it's not as if a person lit the fire and he's continuing to burn that fire every second, he's chayev because of the hadlaka, the original lighting, and all the repercussions thereof. But it's not like he's lighting the fire on a regular basis. The Nodav Yehuda has a different approach to this. He wants to say that as long as the goof, the body of a person is in a reticent state, is a passive state, shevi altaseh, that's not considered a violation of Shabbos. There's no such thing as melech Shabbos b'shevi altaseh. But be that as it may, getting back to Rabbi Yochanan, when a person throws an arrow, he shoots out an arrow into another reshus, that's considered as if the Adam, the person himself who shot the arrow, did the action. And therefore, if we compare Eish to a Chetz, it's Adam Amazik, as if the person himself did the action. Tosus here, Dibra Maskel Isho Mishum Chitzov, says Lo she yavir v'atzmo eish elo kol bokom she posha v'lo shomar gachalto chetzia ninhu chitzov ninhu. Tosus maintains that it doesn't matter whether he lit the fire, as long as it's his fire and he was negligent in watching the fire, it's as if he sent out an arrow. And Rabbi Yochanan applies his principle of Isho Mishum Chitzov. Reish Lakish Omar Isho Mishum Mamono. A person is obligated to watch his fire, just like he's obligated to watch his animal or any other mazik that he owns. And the chiyu for nizke eish, for damages of fire, is midin momen mazik. Like the case of a shor, or like the case, if we will, of a bar. He did not watch and guard his object, his possession, his mazik properly, and due to that negligence, the pshi and shmira, therefore he's chayv mishum eish, when the eish goes out and destroys. And at this point in the sugya, the Gemara thinks that nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is in a situation where a person lights up the field of his friend with a fire that he doesn't own. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he's chayev because it's Adam HaMazik, he's like a Zorek Chetz. According to Reish Lakish, he'd be potter because he doesn't own the fire. That's Rashi's Shita, Dibra HaMaskel here, Mishum Mamono, which you'll see four lines down from the top of the page. Tosus, on the other hand, Dibra HaMaskel Isho Mishuma Mono, disagrees with Rashi. He's of the opinion that it's crystal clear that even according to Reish Lakish, you don't have to own the fire. You know, this fire is not a physical object that you have ownership over. But rather, Reish Lakish's intention is that the definition of the chiyuv, the obligation, is because he didn't watch the fire and make sure that it wouldn't damage. Just like we find in Mamon that the Mechayev is Pshia, that you didn't watch your shor or your bar. Here too, a person, if he lights a fire, even though it's not his, he's Chayev because he's Poshea in watching his fire. And Tosfos has a proof from a sugya in Perek HaKones called Kofef Komasa Shel Chaver Bifnei Adleika, where he's Chayev even though the fire is not his. There's also a sugya in Hakones called Getz Hayotze Mitachas Patish Hanafach, and therefore, and there too, he's chayev even though the Getz is Hefker, or he was Mafker the Getz. And Tosus therefore proves that even according to Reish Lakish, you'd be chayev for not watching an Eish, even though technically, according to the strict laws of Choshe Mishpat, it's not your Eish, but it's considered your mom and amazik, insofar as you were chayiv in Shmira, and you were poshea in that chayiv Shmira. The Gemara now clarifies Reish Lakish, my time alo omer ke Rabbi Yochanan. Why did Reish Lakish reject the principle of Rabbi Yochanan, that the person who lit the fire is considered like someone who sent out a chetz? And if you take a look in Rabbeinu Chananel, Rabbeinu Chananel says that what bothers Rabbi Yochanan, what bothers Reish Lakish, And we'll soon see in the Gemara's language, Amal Chachitzo Mikoach, Mikocho Kazli Hai, Lo Mikocho Kazil, which means that the spreading of the fire is not directly a result of the energy force of the person, and therefore it's not considered Adam HaMazik. Rabbi Nachmanel says that what the Gemara has in mind here in explaining the meaning of Reish Lakish is that you need the element of the Ruach. And if the wind doesn't carry the fire, it's not going to spread. Therefore, you cannot consider it as chitzav. Chitzav doesn't require wind. You know, the force that the archer puts into the spear or into the arrow, that itself is called kocho. That's the force of the person that causes the damage. But here you have to add the ruach as another element. Rabbi Yochanan, my time alone, Omer Kreish Lakish. Omer Lecha, why is it that Rabbi Yochanan rejects Kreish Lakish? Mamona isbe mamosha, ha lesbe mamosha. If you have a flame that burns, that has no tangible, it's not tangible. It's a gas. It's not a physical carbon object. It has no mamoshus. Now, that fits pretty well into Rashi, if we assume that the nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is a case where he doesn't own the Eish, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan objects to Reish Lakish. He says you can never own Eish, and therefore it's not mamono, lespe mamosha. But according to Tosfos, that Reish Lakish agrees that Yechayev Mishum Eish Bitoras Mamono Shehizik, even though, despite the fact that you don't own the Eish, then clearly the Gemara is not talking about Lespe Mamosha as a problem of Bailus. In fact, it could very well be that in the case of Bar, Yechai from Bar B'Shesarabim, despite the fact that you have no Bailus, then we have to understand that the difference, the objection of Rabbi Yochanan is to differentiate between bar, where you chayev from Mamon HaMazik, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, as opposed to Eish, which is not liable to Torah's Mamon HaMazik. And the difference is that in the case of bar, You dig the bar and you've changed something physically in the karka itself. You've created a vacuum, a hole in the karka, and that's called mamoshes. And that's something for which you could be chayev. But in the case of shalheves, to say that because the shalheves moves, it's transported by the wind from place to place, that could be mamono amazik. There's no actual change at all in the structure of the H. Although we have a case of Ruach at the beginning of our Perek, when we spoke about an animal that flaps its wings and creates a Ruach, and Yechayev are the Nezik Shalom according to Sumchus, or Chatzi Nezik Tzoros according to Chachomim. But there too, there's mamoshus, at least in the animal itself. You know, you're not dealing with ruach per se. Masha'enkein, in the case of Eish, there is no mamoshus from which the ruach, you know, the ruach contributes to the Eish. So the Eish is not momen amazik. It's got to have mamoshus. For example, a person could be mazik something by blowing something. So Rabbi Yochanan would say, the nochinami, that's called a chetz, even though the ruach is less be mamosha, but if he created that ruach, that's called adam mazik, that's called a zorek chetz. So Rabbi Yochanan is willing to tolerate the parsha of the av of eish under the category of chitzav, but not under mamono, because it's so radically different than any other case of mamono, because it's lespe mamosha. Later on in the sugya, we're going to see, but we're not ready for it yet, that even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that Eish is still considered Mamono. Rabbi Yochanan wants to go ahead and add the Chitzav on top of Mamono, and there'll be situations in which you know the Eish is contained and then it falls apart, where you'll be Chayv Mishum Chitzav, where you wouldn't be Chayv Mishum Mamono. Now we finally swing back to our Mishnah, and we're going to raise an objection against Reish Lakish and a proof for Rabbi Yochanan from our Mishnah. Tnan, HaKelev Shenotal Charora. The Kelev took this cookie that had Gecholim coals that were attached to it, and the Mishnah says, as a result of the burning of the Gadish, the owner of the Kelev has to pay for the Sreifas HaGadish Chatzi Nezek. Bishlei v'lomadi omer isho mishum chitzav de Kelev. If you accept Rabbi Yochanan, then we can understand that we're dealing with a classical case of Tzroros here. Why? Because if we identify Eish, we equate Eish with Kocho. So here, the burning of the Gadish on the part of the Kelev is considered Kocho Shel HaKelev. And the owner of the Kelev, therefore, is Chayav for his Koach, the Koach of his Kelev, under the law of Chatzi Nezek Tzroros. That makes sense according to Rabbi Yochanan. Elamani Amar Isha Mishum Mamono, according to Reish Lakish, that the Chiyuv of Eish is Mamon Amasik, not Adam Amasik, is High Eish Lav Mamono Debala Kelevu. The Eish is not the Mamon of the Bala Kelev. We should go back to the owner of the Charora. Correct? Keep in mind that Reuven owns the Charora, Shimon owns the Kelev. And to the extent to which this Charora becomes the medium of Eish, then the owner of the Charora is responsible for any burning as a result of the Charora or any Gechom that are attached to the Charora. Why should the Bala Kelev be paying? It should be the Bala Charora who should be paying. And the Mishnah makes absolutely no sense. This is the way Rashi, Dibur Maskil Lav, interprets our Sugya. And this is all Rashi Lishitasa, because Rashi, if you remember, formulated the principle at this point in the sugya that Reish Lakish is based on the fact that a person is not chayev for burning someone else's gadish if he uses an eish that's not his, because eish is chayev mishum mamono, and it's got to be his mamon. However, according to Tosas, as we discussed, Isha Mishum Mamono, that's not true. Even Reish Lakish agrees that you're chayev for using the fire that belongs to someone else. And therefore, we're going to have to reinterpret the Gemara's Kasha, and that's Tosas Dibra Maskel Lav. And Tosas says, we'll just read the first line in Tosas, says, Duhu lo idliko vial eishel kalbo lo chivaso Torah. Tosas points out that the kasha of the Gemara, the objection against Reish Lakish, is based on the premise that the takola, or the eish, is owned by someone. If it's owned by someone, then the owner of the takola is responsible, meaning eish comes on the mamono. So let's define the eish here. We have to pinpoint the charora as the eish. Who owns the charora? The charora is owned by Reuven, and therefore he owns the eish to the extent to which Isho Mishum Mamono, Reuven, the owner of the charora, is considered the one who created this takola. And even though the kelev of Shimon was the one that used this charora to be madlikas eish, nevertheless, it's Reuven, the owner of the eish, who's going to be chayev, and not Shimon, the owner of the kelev. We had something similar, if you remember that, when we discussed the drush of kiyiftach ish bar v'lo shar bar, that a person is not chayev for a bar that was dug by his shar. And here too, the owner of the kelev is not chayev for the eish of the kelev, since there is there is an owner of the bar, or the owner of the eish in this case. And just like we have a drasha, ish bar v'lo sharba, we have a drasha of ki yavir ish, ish v'lo shar. So the shar that lights the fire is not chayv, it's the owner of the fire who's responsible. And basically what the Gemara is saying is that the owner of the charora, he's the one who is poshea on his charora, on shmiras eish, and he should be chayv. Why does the Mishnah say that he's chayv, that the owner of the kelev is chayv? According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's chatzi nezek tzoros. Amar lecha reish lakish, the Gemara now defends reish lakish, hacha b'mayaskinan, the adye iduye. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the kelev, the dog threw the charora onto the gadish, and that's where it ate the charora. And in that case, what happens is we're not dealing with a chiyuv masik because of this pashtus of the eish. This pashtus of the eish would be, the liability would be attributed to the owner of the eish, i.e. the owner of the charora, and that brings us back to Gemara's kash. But here, we're talking about a case where the damage that the Mishnah is focused on is the damage that is a direct result of the throwing by the kelev of the charora on the gadish. And this we'll see in the next line of the Gemara. The Gemara says the al charora is nezek sholem. The owner of the kelev has to pay full damages to compensate the owner of the charora because the kelev ate the charora. That's nizke shen. And this nezek happened in the rishus of the nizak. Let's assume that the gadish is owned by the owner of the charora. And now we get to the gadish itself. The al makom hagacheles mishalim chatzi nezek. When we're talking about the gadish, we're talking about the you know, we'll circle and pinpoint an area, call it X, where the gacheles landed. That particular place. Forget about the fire spreading right now. Let's just talk about that area, X, on the karka, where the gacheles hit the karka. Again, the gacheles attached to this charora. On that, says the Gemara, you pay chatzi nezek, because that's considered the action, the direct action of the kelev. The kelev threw the charora on this makom, and the makom upon which this gachels hit the makom and burnt it in that place, that's called tsroros. That place which was burnt immediately when the dog puts the gachels, again attached to the charora, on that place, that's called nizke regel, but again it's kocho shalakelev, and that's called tsroros. Now, what happens with the rest of the gadish, meaning now we talk about the hispashtus or eish? So the Gemara says, v'al gadish kula patur, the owner of the kelev doesn't have to pay damages for the entire gadish. Why? Because that nezek happened not through the kelev directly, but through this pashtus or eish. This pashtus or eish is called, according to Rabbi Reish Lakish, isho mishum mamono. And you can't be mechayev the balakelev for the mamono because he doesn't own the gacheles. There is an owner of the gacheles. Again, we haven't yet addressed the question that's going to come up later. Why shouldn't the balak harora be chayev for the rest of the gadish? Okay, we'll have to address that in just a minute when we get to Chav Gimel and Aleph. However, now, at this point, we've solved the problem, the riddle of our Mishnah, why the Mishnah is mechayev the balakelev for the Sreifas HaGadish. It doesn't mean the Sreifas HaGadish as an entity, the entire Gadish, but rather the makom shebo nafla hagacheles. And that's considered tsroros of the kelev. For Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan has a different interpretation of our Mishnah. The Ancha Anuche. Rabbi Yochanan understands that the Caliph put the Charora down with the Gachels that's attached to the Charora. Gachels meaning the coals, I think we said that before. It's placed down on this haystack. And therefore, Al Charora V'al Mokom Gacheles Mishali Nezik Sholem V'al Hagodish Mishalem Chatzin Nezek. Rabbi Yochanan understands that the Baal HaKelef has to pay number one for the Charora. That's under the Aloch of Shein, as we discussed earlier, for eating the Charora of his friend Rishus HaNizak. And with regard to the Mokom, that place that we marked off as X, exactly where the Gacheles was placed down, he also, the Baal HaKelef, has to pay Nezek Sholem. Not just on the Charora, but on the place where the Charora was placed, right? On that location where the Charora was placed down, was let down by the Kelev, that's called Regel. So you have Shein and Regel. Shein on the Charora, and Regel on the Mokom HaGacheles. Why? Because it's normal to expect an animal to take a charora from its place and put it down on a gadish and eat it there. Animals eat wherever they want to go. So that's called regel. That's normal, and it's not keren. Oh, but now we get to the gadish itself. The ala gadish, mishalim chatzines, why is that? That's already tsroros. And the reason why that's tsroros is because, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Isha Mishum Chitzov, and now the Kelev is sending out its Chitzim, that's what Eish is all about, and when the Kelev sends out its Chitzim, which is called Kocho de Kelev, that's Chayev Midin Tzoros. Now mind you, Rabbi Yochanan avoids interpreting our Mishnah as a case in which the Kelev threw the Gacheles onto the Gadish, because that's already called Kocho. Kocho means you have the Eish as the Chitz of the Kelev. And then when the fire spreads, that's already another Koach. And that's called Kocho. And that's what Tosus points out here, Dibra Maskel V'Rebi, Lo Motz L'Mim V'Di'Adi Yaduye, why does Rabbi Yochanan avoid this? And he mentions the Sugya of Ravashi, which we discussed in the Daf Yutes, of Koach Kocho. Shlokish, on the other hand, Rashi explains, Dibra Maskel V'Al, had to interpret our Mishnah as a case where the Kelev threw the Gacheles, because if the Gacheles was placed down on the Gadish by the Kelev, then what's the Mishnah talking about Chatzin Nezek? Because on the book of Gacheles, that's called Regel, and he pays Nezek Sholeh. And on the Ispashtus HaEish, it's only the Baal HaCharora who's responsible. And therefore, since we assume, as we said before in Rabbi Yochanan's frame of reference, that it's derech, it's the normal behavior of a kelev to take charora with its kicholim, then when it places it down in a certain place, if it was a hanocha, that would be regel. Therefore, Reish Lakish is compelled to interpret our Mishnah as a case where the kelev threw the gacheles onto the gadish, and he pays Chatzin Nezek on Mokom Sreifas HaGacheles, and that's a halacha of Chatzin Nezek Tzoros. Alternatively, the reason why, according to Reish Lakish, he pays Chatzin Nezek on the Mokom HaGacheles, when the animal throws the Gacheles onto the Gadish with a direct hit on that Mokom, is because it's Mishune and it's Chatzin Nezek of Keren. Toshma, the Gemara now asks a different question on Reish Lakish from the Mishnah. Not the Mishnah here on Chof Aleph, but the Mishnah later on Samach Beis Amud Beis. Gomel Ta'un Pishtan. You have the case of the camel that's carrying a burden on its back of flax. V'Ovar B'Shus Arabim, and the owner of the gamal is. Leading his gamal through the public domain, and there's so much linen, so much pishtan on its back nichnas apishtonu l'toch hachanus, that on the side of the Rishus HaRabim there is a store. We discussed this on many occasions. See the Rishus HaRabim, that's where the chanuyos were. And the pishton inevitably went into the chanus. And as the gamal was located in such a proximity to the chanus, that part of the pishton went into the store. Now, the owner of the store is fulfilling his mitzvah of ner. Vidolko b'nero shel chenvoni. And now the pishton came in contact with this ner, and it's very flammable, obviously, and as a result hidlik es habira. And the Mishnah describes a case where there's a structure, a bira, a very significant structure that went up in flames as a result of the fact that the pishton on the back of this camel took fire. It was lit up by the candle of the owner of the store. What do we paskin? The Mishnah says, Balagamal Chayov. The owner of the camel is the one who has to pay for the burning up of this bira. And why is that so? Because the ner was placed on the inside of the house, and therefore the owner of this ner has no responsibility for what this gamal did. But hiniach en vani nero bechutz, the Mishnah continues and tells us, if there was a pshia over here on the part of the owner of the store because he placed his ner outside in the open area of Rishus HaRabim, is chenvani chayav, then the owner of the candle is chayav for the burning of that building because he was poshea and he had no right to leave his ner in the Rishus HaRabim. We shall not discuss whether the owner of the store and the ner has to pay not only for the bira that went up in flames, but also for the pishton on the back of the gamal, and that might depend upon whether there was some sort of element of pshia on the part of the owner of the gamal. Rav Yehuda Omer, the Mishnah concludes by telling us that b'ner Chanukah potur, the halacha requires that on Chanukah you place your ner outside in the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore it's not considered pshia on the part of the Chanvani, the owner of the store, when he placed his ner outside the store, and therefore he's potter, he doesn't have to pay for Nizke Habira, for the Srefa of this building that went up in flames. He had all the right to do what he did. He was mitzuv in the mitzvah of Hanochas Ner Chanukah B'Shus HaRabim, that's the Pirsum HaNes, and therefore he is potter. So the Gemara says the following, Bishleim Laman Yomer Isha Mishum Chitzov. This fits very well into Rabbi Yochanan's frame of reference that Eish is considered Adam HaMazik, like Zorek Chitz. And we understand now why in the Reisha, the owner of the Gamal is Chayev for the burning up of the Bira, Chitzov de Gamal, who... Again, when we say chitzav de gomalhu, keep in mind, that's chatzi nezik tzroros. So it's a little bit of a push here, but when it says the balagamol chayav, what he means is he has to pay chatzi nezik. Why? Because this is tzroros, this is the koach of the gamal, and the owner of the gamal is chayav for the chitzim that the gamal sent out, like the case of tzroros. That's as far as the Reish is concerned. In the Seifa, where the Chenvoni placed his ner outside, then the Chenvoni has to pay Tashlumi Nezek, and that's going to be Nezek Sholim. That's not Tzroros. Correct? Because he's Chai for his ner. El Amandi Yom Mishum Amonu, according to Reish Lakish, is Isho Mishum Amonu. You created a Takola, and you have to watch that Takola. And if you're poshea, you're chayev. So why is the Bala Gomel chayev for Srefas Abira? Hai Eish Lav Mamono de Bala Gomel, who, if this Eish is owned by the Chenvani, why should the Bala Gomel be responsible to pay damages for the Eish? You know, he who has the Eish, and that's the Chenvani, has to watch, has to protect his Eish. And this is a question that parallels the previous question of the Gemara from our Mishnah. In the case of the Charora, the Baal HaCharora should be paying according to Reish Lakish, and here too, the Baal, the Bala Haner should be paying. Om L'choresh Lakish, Hachamai Skin, and the Mishnah is talking about a case. Bim Sach Seches. What's Misach Seches? Misach Seches is a word that's synonymous with Madlekes. Kol Adira Kula. Notice the Mishnah is talking about a case not where the Eish, this Pashtus Eish, was a natural result of the elements, but rather the Gamal actually took the Pishtan, which is now on fire, and he lit it and torched up the entire house. And by burning the entire house, that's considered regel, that's considered the direct hezek of the Gamal, and therefore the Gamal, the owner of the Gamal, is chayav. We're not talking about Nizke Eish, we're talking about Nizke Regel. Meaning that it's natural and normal to expect the Gamal to walk from place to place, and as he walks, and he's got this burning Eish on the pishon on his back, he's going to burn the entire bira down. So the Gemara says that this is a chiyuv regel, and it's not called Rishus HaRavim, it's rather called Rishus HaNizak, because the bira that was a lit is obviously in a private domain of the Nizak. Ihachi, the Gemara says, if that's the case, that the Gamal himself, the camel itself, burnt up the bira, Ema Seifa, what are you going to do with the Seifa? The Seifa says, Iminiach and Vani Nero Mibachutz. The Chenvadi is chayav for leaving his ner out in Rishus HaRabim. The Ibn Sachseches, if the Mishnah is taking about a case where it's the Gamal that goes from place to place with this burning Pishtan, am I chayav? Why should the Chenvadi be chayav? I mean, he lit a small candle. It's the Bala Gamal who's not responsibly protecting his Gamal. And if the Gamal is now burning up the Bira, why should the owner of the Ner be chayav? And the Gemara answers, Bishe Omda. The case of the Mishnah is where the Gamal situated himself next to this Bira, has on its back this, it's laden with this flax, the Pishtan, and it stops dead in its tracks right next to this building, this Bira. And that's how the Bira was alit. And therefore the Chenvani, in that case, who left his Nair outside, is Chayav. The Gemara turns around and asks the following question. Omda v'sichzecha kol shkein the Chenvani patu about gomel Chayav. Wait a minute. Who's responsible? Whose negligence caused this hezek? Clearly, it's the negligence of the Bala Gamal. When he has his Gamal situated with a burning bush on its back, and it's standing in front of a Bira, about to burn down the Bira, he should have gotten his Gamal out of there. He should have smacked him and moved him away as quickly as possible. Again, the Gemara is not saying that the owner of the Nair, the Chenvani, should be completely potter. I mean, he was poshed in the fact that he left his Nair on the outside. What the Gemara means is that the Chenvani should not have to pay the full Nezek. We should exempt him from paying half the Nezek and put the burden of that other half compensation on the shoulders of the Bala Gamal. Amar Rav Huna Bar Manoach Mishmeid Rav Ika Hachamayaskin and Kagon Sha'amda Lahatil Meimeha. The case of the Mishnah is, why did the Gamal stop dead in its tracks in front of this Bira? The answer is, it has to relieve itself. Now, at the moment that it stands, you can't move it out of its place. At that moment, the Bira was burnt from this burden that's up in flames on the back of the Gamal. And therefore, the owner of the Gamal is completely onus. He can't move his Gamal out of the way. As we said before, smack the Gamal and move it. But the Gamal is absolutely entrenched, stationary in its place. He can't move it. That's situation of onus. On the other hand, the Baal Haner, meaning the Chenvani that placed his Nair on the outside of the Saramim, he was Poshea, and therefore he has to pay full damages. Again, Insofar as the Bala Gamal was poshe as well, we can split the damages. That's in a normal case where the Gamal is standing in one place. But if the Gamal is immovable, and therefore the Baal HaGamal is anus, then we certainly have the burden of Pshia and Nezikin fully placed onto the shoulders of the Baal HaEsh, in this case the Chenvani. And now we're turning to Chav Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara says, wait a minute, Resha Baal HaGamal Chayav Delo Iboile Lafushi Bite'ina Seifa Chenvani Chayav Delo Iboile Lanuche Ner Mivroi. Now the Gemara says the following. Let's analyze, according to Reish Lakish, the Resha and the Seifa. In the Resha, again, where the flax is on the back of this Gamal, and this flax enters into the store of the Baal HaChenvani, gets burnt by his Ner. Again, that's where the Ner was properly placed inside the shop. Is Baal Gamal Chayef? The owner of the Gamal is Chayef. Why? Because by placing such a gigantic burden of Pishton on the back of the Gamal, he should have realized that there's a good chance that that Pishton is going to enter into the store on the side of the Rosh Hashanah. But in the Seifa, we're talking about a case where the Chenvani was poshe. He had no right to place his fire outside of his store in the Rosh Hashanah. Chenvani is chayef. Why? Because that's called a pshi on his part by placing his ner out in Rishus Harav. Tosis, Dibur Maskel Reisha, is bothered by this. Why does the Gemara feel compelled to explain all the svaras of the dinim in this brisa only according to Reish Lakish? The truth is that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds Isha Mishum Chitza, we're going to need to explain the difference between the Reish and the Seifa. And Tosis answers that according to Rabbi Yochanan Isha Mishum Chitzav, it was absolutely simple and straightforward without any need to explain the difference between the Reish and the Seifa, because according to Rabbi Yochanan's Isha Mishum Chitzav, the Madlik is Chayav on what we call the Tchilas Hadlaka. And the Tchilas Hadlaka here is clearly the Baal HaGamal's Pshia, because that's where the fire got started. But when this burden laden on the back of the camel with so much Pishton entered into the Chanus, certainly you should have thought about the fact that if the Pishton goes up in flames, that's a dangerous Mazik, and that's called Tchilas Hadlaka. That's exactly what Isha Mishum Chitzav is about, the Tchilas Hadlaka. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Reish Lakish, who holds Isha Mishum Amona, the Chiyuv is not for the Tchilas Hadlaka, but on the fact that he didn't prevent the Gamal from being Mesachseich and spreading the fire throughout the Bira, here we have room to argue, at least it's a logical possibility, that since the Baal HaGamal didn't even see the Dleika until after it was already spreading, at that point he couldn't move his Gamal fast enough to prevent the burning of the Bira. Maybe he's an Anus and we should pater him. And that's what the Gemara wants to tell me, that the reason for the Braisa being Mechayev him is because there is an element of Pshia here. He should have already taken into account the possibility, anticipated, that the Pishon would go into the inside of the shop and it would get burnt. Because everybody knows that inside the shop, the light is coming from a candle. And that's going to be very dangerous for the bira that's next door. Toshma Gemara has a further kasha from a Mishnah later on Reish Lakish. Toshma, Hamadlik es Hagodish, Vehoya Gedi Kofuslo, Vieved Samuchlo, Venisraf Imo, Chayav. Now, we're talking about a double damage over here. There's a damage to the Eved and a damage to the Gadish. And the case here in the Mishnah is where a person is responsible for lighting up the haystack of his friend, and there was a goat that was tied down, right? You tie down an animal, in this case, to the Gaddish. And there's an Eved, we're talking about an Eved Knani here, who is standing next to the Gaddish. As a result of the fire, not only did the Gaddish go up in flames, but the Gedi was destroyed, and the Eved was killed. And the Mishnah paskins that he who lit up this Gaddish is chayev in Nizke HaGedi, has to pay for the loss of the Gedi, and of course the loss of the haystack, which went up in flames. But nevertheless, as far as the Eved is concerned, he's potter. And why is he potter from the Eved? For the chiyuv of Eved. And the Gemara is going to explain that since the Eved wasn't kafus, he wasn't tied down, therefore hayolo livrach. When the Eved saw the flame, he shouldn't have lingered around. It was a dangerous situation. He should have run away. And therefore, the Madlik is potur. He doesn't have to pay any sort of compensation, tashlumin, for the loss of the Eved. Now we get to the Sefer. Eved kafus lo, if the Eved was tied down to this Gaddish, ugdi samach lo, and the Gdi was near the Gaddish, he wasn't tied down. Vinisraf, both the Eved and the Gdi were destroyed, imo, together with the Gaddish, is potter than the one who lit up the Gaddish, doesn't have to pay any damages. Why? Because in this case, we apply the principle of Kidei Rishaso, of Kimlei B'Ramimine, meaning the owner, the Madlik, the lighter of the flame, is Chayv Misa for killing the Eved. And as a result, he doesn't pay any damages for this same act. And Rashi explains that there's a difference between Kofus and Samuch, with regard to the Eved Yesh Bo Das. If he's not Kofus, then we expect the Eved to run away from this fire. And if you're Potur, the Madlik is Potur. But if he's Kofus, he tied down, he doesn't have the possibility of running away, then the Madlik is Chayev. In the case of the Gedi is not a Bar Das, so we cannot expect and anticipate that the Gedi is necessarily going to run away from the fire, then there's no difference between Samach Lo and Kofus. In any case, the Madlik should be Chai for the Gedi, but just the Mishnah says that there's a difference between Kofus and Samach regarding the Eved. And the Mishnah, in order to maintain symmetry, mentions a distinction between Kofus and Samach in the Gedi as well, but really it's not relevant to the Gedi at all. Rashi later on that Mishnah brings a different opinion, according to which even in the case of Gedi we assume it has Das, and when a Gedi has a natural response to a crisis situation to run away and protects its own life, and therefore the Mishnah in the Reisha speaks about Gedi Kofus, because in the Reisha if it had been Samuch, then the Baal Hadlaka, the Madlik, would have been potter on the Gedi because Hayelo Livrach. In any event, now the Gemara, having presented this Mishnah, is going to ask a question, raise an objection on Reish Lakish. We can understand very well that in the case of Eved Kofus in the Seifa, there's a Chiyuv Ritzicha, because the Madlik is called the Zorek Chetz, and it's Kocho, it's Adam HaMazik, Mikocho, Mishum Hachi Potter, therefore the Madlik doesn't pay for any damages, monetary compensation for the Gedi and the Gaddish that were lost, because he's Chayav Misa. El Amad Yom Isho Mishum Mamono, according to Reish Lakish, that although you're Chayav to watch your Eish, and if you don't do so, you're Chayav in Zikin, but am I Potter? Where's the Chiyuv Misa for killing the Eved that engenders Kimle the Ramine and Patterson from paying any of the damages? And in fact, the Gemara gives a mashal here in order to demonstrate its objection here to its problem with Reish Lakish. Ilu katal tore avda. If let's say the shar of a person kills a man, so again that could be machayev him in tashlume hezek and shloshim shalevi. But hachinami lo machayev. Are you going to say therefore that he's chayev misa for killing the eved because his shar killed an eved and therefore he doesn't have to pay nezikin? Obviously, he's not chayiv misa for the shor that killed a person, and therefore there's no kimle rade to pater him from hezeke mamon, from financial compensation. So too here in the nivshal, the one who lit the gadish, and there was an eved kafus, he shouldn't be chayiv misa for that, and therefore he should be chayiv for tashlume nezikin as far as the gadi and the gadish. Amal charesh lakish. Reish Lakish says the Mishnah is not talking about a case where he lit the gadish and then the fire spread and killed the eved, but hach mayas kinon. The case of the Mishnah is kishehitzitz begufo shel eved. He actually lit a flame directly onto the body of the eved, and that's called harigas adam v'yadayim. That's a maisa ritzicha direct. And he's chayav misa, and therefore he's part of tashlumim moment on the gedi and the gadish, the kimle with the rabbimine. Since he's chayav misa, he's not going to be chayav momon for the chiyuv nezikin that resulted from this very same action of hadlaka. Tosis points out that first he was hitzis as gufo shel eved, and then as a result there was a sreifa of the gedi. And with regard to the killing of the Gedi, the Mechayef is Momen Amazik. That's fascinating. Because what we're saying here is that he doesn't have to pay Betoris Momen Amazik for the destruction of the Gedi. Why? Because he's Chayef Misa. But Tosus is quick to point out that because there was one Misa here of Hadlaka, in which he was Hitzis Begufo Shal HaGedi, he was Hitzis Begufo Shal HaEved, and that's a Misa Ritzicha, and as a result, this sreifa caused the death, the destruction of the gedi. If it's one maisa, then since that one single maisa is mechayev both misa and moment, he doesn't have to pay for damages. That's called kimlei b'min rab minei. And the Chidush HaRashi points out that why should he be potel lechora on the tashlumi nezek midin kimlei b'min rab minei? Kimlei b'min rab minei only applies in a situation where both the Chiyuv Misa and the Chiyuv Mamon were incurred simultaneously. That's called Be'idna. Here, he at time T1, he was Matzis Begufa Shel Eved, and he's Chayav Misa for Harigas Eved. And then only later, after the Eved died and the fire spread, then he burnt up the Gedi and the Gadish. There's no Be'idna here. And the regulations or the conditions for Kimlei Ramine require that both the Chiyuv Misa and the Chiyuv Mamon were incurred simultaneously. And the Rashba gives the following answer. That when he lit the Eish, there's a halacha here of Rodef. Meaning that when a person threatens the life of another person, of a victim, the person who threatens is called a rodef. And the rodef, even if during the process of redifa destroys someone's kelim, in this case the eved who's tied down next to the gadish, and at the moment that the madlik lit the fire to the eved, he's already a rodef at that moment, and anyone could kill him, because Habala Hargacha, in the case of a rodev, is anyone is permitted and even obligated to kill the rodev in order to save the nirdaf. So the chiyuv misa and mamon are simultaneous, and that's why the Gemara insists, based on this Mishnah, the sefer of this Mishnah, that he's part of tashlume mamon. Or asks he hachi maila meimra. What is the Mishnah coming to teach us? That there's a din of kimlei b'derabbinei? I mean, that din is well known.
Lo tzricha bigdi dechad, the eved dechad.
The gdi is owned by Reuven, and the eved is owned by Shimon. And that's called misa lezeh, v'tashlumin lezeh. The reason why the matik is chayv misa is because of the eved, and that's owned by one person. The reason why he's chayv for the gdi, and the reason why he's part of the gdi through kimle rabine, is because he was chayv misa for the eved, for the arigas eved. But would, at least in the Hava meeting, we would have thought, we could have argued that the misa, which is chayev, which is generated by the arigas eved, is not going to exempt him from tashlumin for the sreifas agdi, which belongs to someone else. And that's the gevaldik chiddush of this Mishnah, that if in one action you generate a chiyuv honish misa, which is more chomer, obviously, than a chiyuv mamon, that was incurred through that action, even vis-a-vis a different person, you're potter. Toshma, the Mishnah says later on, in another kash on Reish Lakish, Hasholeach es habeira biad chereish shota v'katan, a mature person sends a flame with a person who's not a bardas, a chereish shota v'katan, who are not capable of shmira, and one of those, the cherish, the shot of the cotton, went ahead and burned someone else's property. Potter, the mature person who sent the fire in the hands of the cherish, is potter midini adam. In a court of law, he cannot be sued for damages, but chay v'din shamayim, in the heavenly courts, he has to pay for causing this hezek. Bishlei milamad yomer isho mishum chitzov, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Madlik himself is called a Zorik Chetz, and therefore we could understand very well why it's impossible to sue the Sholeach for damages, because at the end of the day it was the Cherishot V'Katan that lit the fire, and therefore Chitzav the Cherishu, this Chetz belongs to the Cherish. And if the Cheresh lit the fire, then you cannot be Mechayev the Sholeach. That's according to Rabbi Yochanan, meaning the Hezek itself was caused by the Shalheves. And the Shalheves was the Shalheves of the Cheresh Shot of a Cotton, meaning what was given to the child, in this case, was a gachelis, was something small, relatively, and the hezek turned out to be through a larger flame, and that's called chitzav shel cheresh. Eleman diomer isho mishum mono. Why is the sholeach potur for, again, in dinei odom, for the damage caused by the cheresh shel v'katan? The Gemara gives a mashal. Ilu masar shoro lecherishot v'katan, something that needs shmira, that has to be watched, it's a potentially dangerous mazik, like a shor, and he gave it over to the hands of a cherishot v'katan who are not capable of providing the protection. Hachi namid lo mechayev, are you going to tell me that he's potter b'dini adam? I mean, that's the chiyuv of tashlumin ezikin from moment of mazik, as we saw back on Daf Yudam and Aleph. If a person gives a shor over to a cherishot v'katan, he's chayev. And so to hear the nimshal, if a person gives an esh, which is a dangerous masik, and he's chayev in shmira, into the hands of a cherishot v'katan, he should be chayev from a mono shehizik. Gemara answers, ha'itmar Allah, on Reish Lakish mishmei dechizkia, lo shanu, since the Mesira, the Meshaleach, gave over to the Cheresh only a Gacheles is a coal that if you leave it alone, it'll eventually die out, it'll extinguish. V'liba, but the Cheresh started blowing and fanning the flames to create a Shalheves from this Gacheles, is therefore the one who's really causing the hezek here is the Cheresh himself. The Meshaleach is not chayv for pshia, negligence in guarding and protecting his his Momen HaMazik, because a Gachelis is not considered a Momen HaMazik. Avol Mosal of Shalheves, if on the other hand there's this burning torch which the owner of the torch gave over to the Cheresh, Chayef, in such a case the Mishaleach is Chayef, my Taima, Bori Hezeka. Now we have a Mazik, and it's definitely going to be Mazik, it's a dangerous flame, a large flame. The owner of the Shalheves is clearly Chayef in Shmiras Momono, and if he was poshe in the shmir by giving it over to a cherishot v'kotn, he's chayev. The Gemara now wants to analyze how does Rabbi Yochanan interpret this Mishnah, and the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan Omar afilu shalheves potur. Rabbi Yochanan says I wouldn't make any distinction between the case of gacheles and the case of shalheves. In all cases, the Mishaleach is part of Midini Adam. Why? Because so Rabbi Yochanan holds Tzvasa Decheresh Kagarma Kagarim, which means that the action of the Cheresh when he takes this Shalheves and he applies it to the Gadish, that's what causes the Hezek. So it's not the Maisa Hezek. In other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan, when you light something, you're considered Zorik Chetz. Here also, since it was the Cheresh who actually lit the fire, lit the Gadish with the Shalheves, it's the action of the Cheresh. Now, what turns out here is that we're talking about Chitzav Shel HaCheresh. Again, just to reiterate, the reason why, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishaleach, who handed over the Shalheves into the hands of the Cheresh's potter, is because, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Isho Mishum Chitzov, it's like Zrikas HaChetz, and now, we're not going to judge this case as Chitzov Shel Mishaleach, but rather Chitzov Shel HaCheresh, and that you'll see in Tosfos Divrei HaMaskil, Chitzov. The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, lo mechayev, the Mishaleach would not be chayev, ad masale gavza silta ushraga. If the Mishaleach gave into the hands of the Cheresh all the different utensils, that he just has to put them all together, gavza, which means small pieces of dried wood, which are very flammable, silta, which means even smaller twigs, ushraga, and he gave him a ner. Now, for sure, there's an absolute pshia on the part of the Mishaleach. That's how Rashi learns this. And when the Cheresh puts this all together and everything goes up in fire, in flames, the Mishaleach is chayav because he gave into the hands of the Cheresh all these elements here, the gavsa, the silta, and the Shraga. The Rishonim raised the obvious question. I mean, Rashi already explained that in the case of Shalheves, Rabbi Yochanan says the Mishaleach is part because it's Chitzav Shel HaCheresh. Why not apply the same logic in this case of Gavsa, Silta, of a Shraga? It's also Chitzav Shel Cheresh. He's the one who lit the fire. And even if it's a Hezek Matsui, but nevertheless it's Chitzav Shel Cheresh. And therefore the Rishonim add a little bit of a twist here. And they say that the Mechayev here in Gavsa Silta Ushraga is not where the Eish went by itself, where the Eish went by itself. And if the Eish went by itself, that's not called the Mice of the Cheresh. Holcha HaEish Me'atzma. And the Chiddush of this halacha is that the owner, the Mishaleach, has no right to be somek, to depend upon the shmira of the Cheresh. Omar Rava, Kra u'masnisa misayele l'Rabbi Yochanan. I have both a pasuk and a brisa to support Rabbi Yochanan, that isho mishum chitzav. Kra, the pasuk says, d'chsiv, ki seitze eish, and the rest of the pasuk is u'matza kotzim. V'nechal gadish o hakama o hasodeh. And the word here that the Torah uses is teitze. What does that mean? Teitze mi'atzma. In other words, a person lit a fire in his own backyard, and the fire just went out and destroyed his friend's property. And the Torah says, Shalem Yishalem Amavir Es HaBe'era, the one who lit the fire. He's called a Mavir. It's as if he himself lit, even though again the flame went out on its own, so to speak, meaning with the wind, that's called Teitze Me'atzma, but nevertheless it's considered by the Torah, described as Mavir Es HaBe'era. It's as if he himself burnt down his friend's haystack, even though the fire went out on its own. Shma mino, we have to derive from this, Isho Mishum Chitzav. That's the raya from the pasuk. That it's as if, even though the fire went out on its own, it's as if he was a Zorek Chetz from one Rishus to the other Rishus, and he destroyed the haystack of the Nizak, and he's called Mavir Es HaBe'era, like Adam HaMasik. Masnisa, and now I want to bring you a raya for Rabbi Yochanan from the Mishnah, from the Braisa. The Braisa says, Posach HaKosu, and here we turn to Chof Gimel and Aleph, Benizke Mamono, it says Kiseitze Eish, which means that the Eish went out on its own, as if he's responsible for his Mamon, that's called Nizke Mamono, but Besiem, Benizke Gufa, the Torah then says, Shalom Yishalom HaMavir Sabeiru, which sounds like he's the Mavir himself. Lomer Lecha says the Braisa, this is meant to teach us Isho Mishum Chitzav, an explicit raya to Rabbi Yochanan. Just stop here.